My name is Chaya Rapp, and this is Divrei Hayamim Perek Gimel. Perek Gimel starts with David HaMelech's immediate family, then goes through the line of Davidic kings, followed by the progeny of Jehoiachin, the second-to-last king of the southern kingdom. David ruled for a total of 40 years, 7 in Hebron and 33 in Yerushalayim. He had a total of 15 sons. First, two quick notes regarding David's family. One, if you compare the list of David's sons here and in Sefer Shmuel, Daniel, the son of Abigail, is called Kilav in Sefer Shmuel. Rashi says he was called Kilav, which means like his father, since David married Abigail after the death of Nabal, and there was insinuation that this son was Nabal's son, not David's son. To counter this, he looked just like his father David, hence he was called Kilav. His name Daniel indicates that Hashem judged David from the word din for judging and vindicated him regarding the incident with Nabal. A second note, who is Eglah? Eglah is the only one of David's wives that is specifically listed here as Ishto, his wife. The Gemara says that Eglah refers to Michal, the daughter of Shaul, and she's called Ishto since she was David's first and favorite wife. She's called Eglah, which means a calf, as a term of endearment. The Midrash further tells us that, like a calf, she refused to be yoked, in that she defied her father Shaul by protecting David from Shaul's soldiers who were sent to pursue him. Moving on to Jehoiachin. The order of the last kings of Yehuda were as follows: Yoshiyahu, who was a righteous king, followed by his son Jehoiakim, followed by his son Jehoiachin, who is also called Yechaniah, and the final king, Tzidkiyahu, who is also a son of Yoshiyahu. So in other words, the last king is an uncle to the second to last king. The remainder of the parak deals with the family of Jehoiachin. Jehoiachin is not counted among the good kings. In fact, the Navi Yirmiyahu says regarding him, Ko amar Hashem, kisvu es ha'ish hazeh ariri, gever lo yitzlach biyamav, ki lo yitzlach mizaro ish yoshev al kisei David u'moshel od bihuda. This man will be childless, he will not prosper, and none of his descendants will sit on the throne of David and rule over Yehuda. The pasuk continues, Chayani Na'um Hashem, ki im yiyeh kanyahu ben Yehoiakim melech Yehuda chosam al yad yemini, ki misham et kencha. Hashem swears that if Yehoiachin were a signet, like a seal worn on his right hand, a metaphor for something that is never taken off, I would tear you off from there. In other words, even though you are from the Davidic dynasty, I will cut you off. Yet, the Psukim tell us that Jehoiachin is the ancestor of Zerubbabel, who led the Jewish community back from Babel to Israel and is charged with the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. So not only did Jehoiachin have children, he had a descendant who was a leader of the Jewish community in exile, thus providing continuity to the Davidic line. Yechaniah was taken to Babel by Nebuchadnezzar and imprisoned there a number of years before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. The Medrash tells us that there Jehoiachin did tshuva, he repented, and reversed the bad decree. Rambam, Maimonides, points to Jehoiachin as evidence of the great power of tshuva. In the seventh parak of Hilchos Tshuva, Rambam's Laws of Repentance, he says Jehoiachin was destined to be cut off. The kevan sheshav begaluso, once he did tshuva, once he repented in exile, ne'amar b'Zerubbabel bono, it says in the Navi Chagai regarding Zerubbabel, his descendant, Bayom ha'hu no'am Hashem tzvakos, ekachacha Zerubbabel ben Shealtiel avdi, no'am Hashem v'samticha kachosam. It says regarding Zerubbabel, on that day I will take you and make you a signet, for I have chosen you. This is a pasuk from the Navi Chagai, which describes the glory that will follow the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash and the greatness of Zerubbabel in that time. We see here an exact reversal of the original decree. The metaphor of the signet that will be torn off is now restored in the form of Zerubbabel, a descendant of Jehoiachin. The progeny of Jehoiachin in our parak begins as follows. Ubnei Yechaniah, Asir Shaltiel Beno. The Gemara tells us that Asir and Shaltiel were the same person, the son of Jehoiachin. The son is called Asir, which means imprisoned, because his father Jehoiachin had been imprisoned by Nebuchadnezzar when he was conceived. Yechaniah's mother was allowed to visit, and he was conceived at that time. He's called Shaltiel because he was shasul, planted by God, conceived in an unusual way because of the constraints of the prison cell. The Medrash in Vayikra Rabba also says regarding the name Shaltiel, he was called Shaltiel because Sha'al HaKadosh Baruch Hu lebeistin shalmala v'hitiru lo es nidro. Because Hashem had to ask, Sha'al is ask, it's request, Hashem had to ask of his beistin, of his court, to release him of his oath regarding Jehoiachin's continuity. Ultimately, Sefer Melachim tells us that Jehoiachin was released from prison by the next Babylonian king, who treated him honorably and took care of him and his family for the rest of his life. A fascinating footnote to this story is that in the early 1900s, a royal archive room of Nebuchadnezzar was discovered in an excavation. One of the tablets that were found there, which has since been called Jehoiachin's ration tablets, lists food rations that were set aside for captives, including Jehoiachin and his sons. You can find it online. It's very interesting. The next pasuk lists sons of Shaltiel, including Pedaiah, and then the pasuk says, Ubnei Pedaiah Zerubbabel. So Zerubbabel is listed here as a son of Pedaiah, Pedaiah being the son of Shaltiel. Malbim asks, Ube Ezra v'chagai u'malachi nekra Zerubbabel ben Shaltiel. In other books of Tanakh, Zerubbabel is referred to as the son of Shaltiel. So is he Shaltiel's son, or is he Pedaiah's son and Shaltiel's grandson? Malbim first quotes Radak that Zerubbabel was the son of Pedaiah and the grandson of Shaltiel. Then he quotes Ebenezer, who says that in fact Shaltiel died without sons, and his brother Pedaiah performed Yibum, levirate marriage, and married the widow. Since the child born from Yibum is supposed to provide continuity to the deceased, the son born was called the son of Shaltiel, even though he was actually born to Shaltiel's brother, Pedaiah, after Shaltiel's death. Zerubbabel is described in the book of Ezra as the leader of the Jewish community that returned from Babel. He is instructed by the Navi Haggai to begin rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash, and he is told that his success will not come from human power, but from Hashem. And the Navi Haggai says, Zed Dvar Hashem el Zerubbabel. This is the words of Hashem to Zerubbabel. Lemar lo b'chayel, lo b'koach ki imbruchi. Your success will not come from strength, but from me. The Navi goes on to describe in messianic terms the military and political power that will follow the rebuilding, and describes Zerubbabel as the chosen one, a potential Mashiach. Why did this glorious picture never materialize? What went wrong? For one thing, we know that the overwhelming majority of Jews that were in Babel did not come back. Of about 1 million Jews living in the Persian Empire, that's an approximation, only about 42,000 returned. That's a thought that definitely hits home. It's also possible that the messianic prophecies don't refer to Zerubbabel at all, but rather to the ultimate Mashiach who will descend from him. The last psukim of the parak lists the 7 generations following Zerubbabel. The Mefarshim ask, who wrote this list? Ezra was gone by the time these generations came into existence. The Talmud of Rav Sadia Gaon, who has a commentary on Divrei HaYamim, says that this isn't an issue and it isn't unprecedented. As an example, he says that in Sefer Bereishis, Aver, the great-grandson of Noah, called his son Peleg because in the days of Peleg, Niflga Haaretz, the land was dispersed, referring to the sin of the Tower of Babel. But when you look at the years, you find that Peleg was born and named before the Tower of Babel incident occurred. The commentary explains that Aver was a prophet and called his son after something that would happen in the future. Along these lines, the Targum makes a fascinating comment. Before I get to the Targum's comment, full stop. What is the Targum on Divrei HaYamim? Recall that the Gemara said that Yonas ben Uziel, the author of the Targum on the Nevi'im, was prohibited by a voice from above from writing a Targum on Ksuvim. So where does this Targum come from? Tosfos on the Gemara and Megillah says that there certainly was a Targum, an Aramaic translation on Ksuvim, but it was written by another Tana, not Yonas ben Uziel. Another opinion is that it was written by an Amora. The Tanaim wrote the Mishnah, they were in Mishnaic times, the Amoraim wrote the Gemara. So another opinion is that Yonas ben Uziel was a Tana, the Targum on Ksuvim was written by another Tana, or it was written by somebody a generation later called an Amora. Finally, Rashi says no Tana and no Amora ever wrote an Aramaic translation on Ksuvim, and what is written must have been written during a later period. In any case, the Targum in Ksuvim follows comments on the following pasuk. The pasuk says in the genealogy that followed Zerubbabel, the pasuk says, "Ubnei Elyonai ve'Elyashiv uflaya va'akov Yochanan udzlaya va'anani shiva." Targum says regarding the last generation descended from Zerubbabel as follows: "Va'anani, hu malka meshicha ta'asid lehiskale kulhon shiva." Anani, which is the last of the sons, the last of the generations listed in this genealogy from Zerubbabel, seven generations following Zerubbabel, Anani refers to Melech HaMashiach, the Messiah that is destined to appear. The commentary by a student of Rav Sajigon has the same tradition and says he was called Anani because a pasuk in Daniel regarding Mashiach says, "Va'aru im anani shemaya," and with the clouds of heaven will come a man. An anan is a cloud, hence the tradition that the final descendant of Zerubbabel here, Anani, is associated with the Melech HaMashiach, the Messiah. In this pasuk, we get a glimpse into the underlying yet obscure theme of the Sefer, the Ketz, the end of days, and the ultimate arrival of Mashiach. Also within the figure of Yehoyachin, a man who wasn't meant to have children at all and became the forefather of Mashiach, we see the power of tshuva, of repentance, and a message regarding reversal of destiny and hope that was so critical to the Second Temple audience and is equally critical to us today. This shiur is dedicated to Lezecher Nishmas Marcy Stern, Mincha Yehudis Bas Gedaliahu. She was a dedicated teacher whose deep love of the Sifrei Nevi'im and Shivas Tzion left an indelible mark on her many students.